Good afternoon, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Procrastination is something that we all have experienced before in our lives. Anyone who has a messy table, a messy room, the problem is procrastination. You take off your dirty clothes instead of taking them to the laundry area to put them into the laundry basket, you dump it onto the floor. And then you leave it there, you do other things, you get sidetracked, you get distracted, and the dirty set of clothes remain on the floor. You look at it, you get used to it, but not the parents. The parents will nag and say something about it. And then you say, yes, 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 mom, yes, dad. And a few hours later, the set of dirty clothes remain. You look at it. And then the next day came. You took off another set of dirty clothes. And you dump it there again. And so on. Procrastination. Why is it that after we have taken off our dirty clothes, it is still in our hands? We just simply have to take a few steps and put it into the laundry basket. That would be it. But instead, we dump it somewhere when it's not supposed to be. Same with our messy table. Same with our messy lives and sometimes even our service unto the Lord. The first instance of dirty clothes, the penalty and the issue, the consequence is minimal. Maybe it will smell a bit and that's it. No big harm or grave danger. But when it comes to the work and the service of God, procrastination can be a serious jeopardy. Jeopardy in other people's lives, in ministry, and to the glory of God. We live in an age and a world where group projects are more common than in the past. In my time, when we had to do certain design in university, hardly do we have to do a lot of group projects. Most of our projects are on our own, singular. Do it yourself. But they realize that when you enter into the working world, that the reality is usually not yourself. You work in a team with others, and because of the lack of practice and training, perhaps, and preparation, we do not know how to work with people. And so they start young. They start very early to do group projects. And so when I talk to my children about group projects, the problem of procrastination is magnified. Because as you know, if you have a group of four members, and in order for the project to be completed, you need four people to do their part. And if you have three very diligent and hardworking members, and all you need is one who is lazy, who procrastinates, the project will not be completed. And so these three hardworking members will probably be very upset. And most of the time, I was told that they will just simply take over the task of the procrastinator. So in order to get it done, get it checked, get it submitted to the best of their ability so that they will not be penalized. Procrastination is a very deadly transgression. And because of its appearance of innocence, appearance of harmlessness, we let this sin, this transgression, pervades into many different aspects of our lives, pervades into many, many projects, ministries, areas, and into the spiritual realm. And because of that, lives are badly impacted, ministries are stalled, and the problem persisted, and the problem increases in danger and dilemma. If it was dealt with when it was tiny, nipped in the bud, as they say, it would not have today's devastation. What we have here in Genesis chapter 24 are the closing verses of a very long chapter, 67 verses. This servant of Abraham was on a mission. The mission was very straightforward and simple. It had the appearance of impossibility to find a wife in order to complete and continue the work of God to save the world from sin. That was the mission that he was on. It has a spiritual significance that has a global, eternal consequence, yours and mine included. He understood the awesome responsibility given to him, and so he prayed, and his prayer was answered almost immediately, and this young girl fulfilled all that he prayed and asked for as a sign that this was the one. Rebecca was her name, and after talking to her for a while, everything seems to fall into place. Because according to what he was told by Abraham, the servant must look for someone from Abraham's family. And Rebecca was from Abraham's family, Abraham's brother's family, which was correct. And so now we come into this episode from verse 49 onwards, where the final phase of the fulfillment of God's will must be done. As long as it is not done, it remains undone. It doesn't matter whether it is 70% done, 80% done, even 90%+ done. You see, to the Jews or to the Hebrews, their language is very unique. They only have two tenses. And the tenses are done or not done, past or future. That's it. They do not have our many tenses or the Greek that have a long list of many different tenses. Only two, done or not done. And so they are not interested. Like us, we are very, very impressed. If you are given a project by your boss and you tell the boss that upon the deadline, it is 85% done, you seem to say it as if it is a good thing. Do you realize that it is still 15% not done and it is already past the deadline? But in our culture, in our context, 85% accomplished seems to give the boss a very good impression. And so you do not say it with any trepidation. You just simply state it as a matter of fact. And 80%, 85% is a good percentage in your own eyes, based upon your experience in the past, in our culture. And so the boss will probably say, keep it up. We are trying to finish the other remaining 15%, maybe by this new deadline. He shifted the deadline for you. But in the Old Testament, even before the formation of the nation of Israel, the language of Hebrew itself tells us that the people who have assigned you a particular mission is not interested whether it is 80%, 90%. You don't talk that way. You don't think that way. When the deadline comes, it just comes to you, done or not done. Nothing impressive about 90% done, 95% done. He's not interested. That was their mentality. That was their mindset. That's how they look at life. That's how they look at assignments. That's how they look at all things, including spiritual. Done or not done. And so as far as this servant of Abraham was concerned, it's not done. But what he is confronted with is the danger of the sin of procrastination. And so what we have from verse 49 to verse 53 is the first cure. If you want to cure yourself of the sin of procrastination, and I believe all of us should, because all of us procrastinate in one way or another. It may not be in some areas, it may be in other areas, but procrastination is a serious transgression. Just because it is common, just because it appears harmless, it does not mean that it is not dangerous and deadly to our testimony and our service. And so we have to know what to do when we are about to commit the sin of procrastination. Delay in what we know we ought to do. And because of our delay, things dragged on and we can fall into serious problems, impacting others negatively. And so the first cure, look at verse 49 to verse 53. He had just rehearsed his testimony from beginning to end to the heads of the family of Rebekah. That was Rebekah's father, Bethuel, and Rebekah's older brother, perhaps, that's Laban. And I believe Laban was more
dominant than the father, Bethuel. Because in verse 50, Laban is mentioned first. And then Bethuel. So he seems to be taking over as the head of this home. Maybe perhaps Bethuel was getting on in years and allowed the man, Laban, the older brother of Rebekah, to take over the conversation. And so after rehearsing all that has happened accurately and correctly, verse 49, the servant concluded his testimony and said, "Now if ye will deal kindly and truly with my master," not with me, "my master, Abraham." Okay, I'm not here on my own terms. I'm not here to do my thing. I'm here to do my master's will. Tell me. If not, if you are not going to release Rebekah to me, also tell me, so that I may turn to the right hand and to the left hand and find somebody else. But whatever it is, please do not be indecisive. I need to know your decision right here and now. Right here and now. And so Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The thing proceeded from the Lord, based upon your testimony, and we believe your testimony, it is from the Lord himself. The Lord is the one who has chosen Rebekah. From Laban's perspective, my sister, from Bethuel's perspective, my daughter, to do God's will. We cannot speak, therefore, bad or good." In other words, the Lord had already decided for us. It's not whether we want it or do not want it. It is the Lord who has decided, and therefore we must obey. "Behold, Rebekah is before thee." She is here. "Take her and go. Let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord had spoken." And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard these words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. He was so grateful and thankful, because he was now coming to the conclusion of this very important spiritual mission and purpose. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. This was the dowry. Very important. This was their custom. You don't just simply come and take somebody's daughter without dowry. And that's why later on when we came to Jacob, he came to the same place, this time to Laban's two daughters, Rachel and Leah. Or Leah and Rachel, older than younger. He was empty-handed. And that's why he worked for free. For 7 years. That's the dowry. 7 years of free labor. That was his dowry. In this case, it was the silver, the gold, the raiment, the jewels given to Rebekah and to Rebekah's family. And so the first cure to help us realize and avoid the sin of procrastination is confirming God's will. That's what he did. You tell me what your decision is. If it is a no answer, tell me. If the answer is yes, tell me, so that I will know what to do next. Please, do not delay. Do not procrastinate. Tell me. Because I'm on an urgent business. And so what they said, confirm. She is before you. This is God's will. Confirm. And that's why he worshipped God and he handed over the dowry. He did not hand over the dowry until they say, "Yes, Rebekah is the one. You can take her." Because if he handed over the dowry and then they say, "Rebekah is not the one," he's in trouble. He had to look for another one. But this time, no more dowry. That's why he held back the dowry until God's will, that was Rebekah, was the chosen one, was confirmed. You must be very certain. Now, we're not saying that there are sometimes decisions have to wait, because you're not sure how to decide. You're still waiting for the information to arrive. That's very, very permissible and logical. That's correct too. You do not want to make a decision without complete information, because otherwise you will make a wrong decision. And therefore, under those circumstances, you don't be hasty. You wait. That would not be falling into the sin of procrastination because you are not certain, you're not sure what to do. And there are certain issues and difficulties in life that is best to hold on. Hold on for more information, hold on for more prayer, hold on for more direction from the Lord, hold on for more study of God's Word in order to make sure whatever you're going to decide very soon will be the right decision. Don't be hasty. Don't say, well, this is a sin of procrastination, let's be hasty. You cannot be hasty. You cannot rush. There are certain things that are not meant to rush. That's why you have to first confirm God's will. Once the will of God is confirmed, then if you do not take action, then it is the sin of procrastination. But when the will of God is still in the process of being determined, you must hold on and wait. Don't be hasty. I realized in the process of counseling, I cannot just simply talk to someone, call someone, and talk to the person just to ease my own conscience, because the burden had just simply arrived in my heart. Just call and get it done with. Just do it for the sake of getting it done. And of course, obviously, it will not help. Instead, the matter got worse, because wrong time, wrong place, wrong words. You must pray and wait for the Lord to show you, to direct you. When is the right time? When is the right place? And pray for the right words. When you read the papers, do you realize that more often than not, so far from my observation, almost all the time so far, I noticed that in the case of a traffic accident that is serious when a life is lost, the motorist, the driver is charged in court. Do you know that it is not almost immediately? It is not even after a few weeks. It is usually almost 1 year later. Do you notice that? And 1 year later, the newspaper will print the case of the driver of the motor car that took this life. And his sentence will be this, how many weeks in prison, how many years you'll be banned from driving, and so on. Why did they delay for 12 months or more? To allow everyone to calm down, to allow every wound to heal. Imagine if the same sentence of 5 weeks in prison, 5 years, you're not allowed to drive. If it's just a few weeks after you killed my son, my daughter, you just imagine the kind of pain, the kind of anger that is still in your heart. You just took my child's life, and all you get is just 5 weeks in jail, and then probably for good behavior, 2/3 of the 5 weeks, and that's it. You took my son's, my daughter's life. And that's it. That's why there was this delay. To let everyone calm down and settle down. Whereby you cannot punish a person just to make the victim's family happy. Because more often than not, in that kind of scenario, you would want more than a pound of flesh. You would want to have some form of revenge, some vindictive spirit inside, burning, boiling. And that's why the court usually allow everyone to calm down and cool down first. No matter how remorseful the driver is, you notice that during the early period, usually the counsel, please don't go and visit the home. Please don't go and attend the vigil service or the wake or whatever it is. No matter how remorseful and how apologetic you are, please don't ever go. Not now, definitely not so soon. Wait. That would not be committing the sin of procrastination. That is wisdom. You have to confirm the will. Once it is done, you know what to do. There are certain things you cannot delay, like discipline of someone in the church who have committed something wrong. You investigated, and after weighing all the facts and all the data, and after a very, very careful investigation, you realize that this person is really guilty. You don't wait. You take action immediately. You cannot delay any further. Once you have all the facts and the data, you must act. The longer you delay, the worse it will get, because this person is going to commit a longer transgression in this state of sin. And the person closest to him will be hurt more because of your procrastination, your delay. Confirming God's will is very important. That's one of the cures of procrastination. Confirming God's will. That's what he did. Please tell me what to do. Is she the right one or not the right one? And thank God the reply was, we can't decide. The Lord has to decide. And the Lord has decided. She is before you. She is. Don't have to go to the right. Don't have to go to the left. She is the one. And he believed by handing over the dowry. So it was confirmed. Now just because it's confirmed doesn't mean that the problem was over. Because you know how hard it must be for the brother to let go the sister and for the father to let go the daughter. We're not talking about going somewhere where they can easily return. You see, like in our tiny little island, it is, in my opinion, a blessing. Because my children are married now, my daughters. I mean, the time when my children are young, you know, you don't realize what's it like. But now that they're grown up, they're married, well, thank God for a small island. Because no matter how far they move house, it's only within the island, right? So I can visit them, they can visit me anytime. And in Singapore, the farthest you travel without any traffic jam is Tuas to Changi. Tuas to Changi, to most people who live in big countries, is like next door. But of course, to us, near means 5 to 10 minutes. Changi to Tuas, whoa, so far! Right? You try living in America or in Australia, those big countries, including Malaysia. Your home is in Muar, let's say. Your child works in Petaling Jaya, KL. It's not next door, you know. It's another state. Different state. You cannot just simply come and have dinner. You cannot have dinner every Friday. In America, it's two different time zones, East and West. And that's why for them, when they have their reunion, it is Thanksgiving, it's once a year. And when they say goodbye to children after they get married and they get posted to another city, to another state to work, you don't see them again except maybe during Thanksgiving. Hopefully they are convicted enough to come and visit. Otherwise, you hardly even see your children. This is worse. There's no modern mode of transportation. Once they say bye-bye to Rebecca, it is bye-bye. Really, big B, bye-bye. You think, can she just simply take a bus and come back? There's no bus. And from Haran, that is in the top of the Mesopotamia crescent, all the way down to where they were, near Jerusalem, near the Dead Sea area, they probably would have to take maybe about what? 1 to 2 weeks to travel by all the old-fashioned modes of transportation, even on an ass or a donkey. Just imagine, if it's 2 weeks of travel, how many nights do you have to be outside before you arrive at your destination? And every night that you are outside, you've got to be sure that you are inside a big city for protection. You don't just simply travel and then break camp, and then just pitch a tent out in the jungle or nowhere or in the woods or in the wilderness, and then that's it. They're wild animals, they're bandits, they're all kinds of dangers. So just simply, you want to travel and want to visit, even for 1 whole week, you have to think of 6 nights outside. It's dangerous. Not to talk about the slow, inconvenient mode of transportation. And so, who are the people who is going to be the source that may entice you to procrastinate, not strangers? The brother and the father. And they have the right. You are taking away our daughter, our sister. And so they are going to be the ones who's going to cause you to succumb to the sin of procrastination. And so they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and they tarried all night, and then they rose up in the morning, and then the servant said, "Send me away unto my master, imperative. Quickly, I have to go back because the mission is not completed yet. It will only be completed when they arrived home." And she married Isaac. Until that happens, it is not completed. Remember, their language, done or not done? This is 80% done, right? Still not done yet. Every phase that is completed, he worshiped the Lord, he thanked the Lord. That's a good thing. But not until the last bit of the puzzle is completed, then only his mission is done. And when the people who is about to cause him to succumb to the sin of procrastination are people that means a lot to us. In this case, a lot to Rebecca. That makes it even more difficult for the servant to stand and insist that I cannot procrastinate. You know how difficult it must be for him when the brother and her mother, this time, not Bethuel, her mother, verse 55, her mother said, "Let the damsel, that's Rebecca, abide with us a few days." How many? 10 days. Wow. And then after that, she shall go. Mommy, you know. Now, of course, I read it in such a manner, and her brother and her mother. Cannot be like that, huh? Should be her brother and her mother, you know. "Please, let the damsel abide with us. That's a few days. 10 days. Cry, lah. A little bit, huh? And mommy, daughter, I'm sure they're close, right? You're not saying, remember, it's bye-bye for good, a capital B, it's not. Okay, next month you come and visit, okay, darling? Rebecca, next month you come. There's no next month, there's no next year. This is it, permanent. Bye-bye. 10 days compared to permanency, it's a few days, which is correct. Please, let me spend 10 days with my sweetheart, my baby girl. Please. Powerful, right? You are on a mission. What if during these 10 days, Rebecca, I don't want to go, mommy. I don't want. And how? But we took the dowry, you know, darling. Give back, lah. Never mind, lah. 10 days compared to a long period of never coming back is short, correct? Which is true. If you start to reason that way, if you start to think that way, you and I is going to succumb. We are going to succumb. We are going to fall into the sin of procrastination. The devil is no idiot. When you and I fall into sin, whatever the sin is, we fall into his trap. And he's not going to use total strangers to lure us. He's going to use people who are dear to us. People who can twist and turn our desires and our heartstrings. Because they will have the greater control in influencing us to fall into sin, to disobey God. He will use our children. He will use the people that we look up to, the people that we adore, and he will use them against our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby either you obey Christ or disobey Christ because of this person. Now the will of God is confirmed. Rebecca is the one. He has to go back ASAP. He cannot delay. But now the voice to delay, the voices to delay were mom and brother. And he said to them, "Hinder me not." The word hinder actually means procrastinate. That's how the title of this sermon came about. "Do not cause me to fall into the sin of procrastination," to rephrase it. That's what it means. Don't make me procrastinate. Please, don't. "Seeing the Lord hath prospered my way, Every step of the way, from the moment I started praying, I left my master's house. The Lord is the one who has prospered and directed me face by face, step by step, in finding your daughter. This is the Lord's will. This is not what I want. This is not what my master's want. This is what the Lord wants. Please, do not delay. Do not delay me. Do not cause me to fall into the sin of procrastination. Send me away. Imperative. He repeated what he asked for in the last part of verse 54 with the same strength of emphasis. Imperative. Send me away that I may go to my master. He refused to budge. That's the second cure. Second cure. Persevere in God's will. No matter who, persevere in God's will so that you will pass the test. This is a test. This is a test. And so they called Rebekah and then said unto her. Alright, so verse 57, I beg your pardon. And then they said, alright, we will call the damsel and ask her and see what she says. Alright, so therefore the mom and the brother refused to give permission. They now pass the buck, as they say, to Rebekah. Let her choose. Let her decide whether she wants to stay 10 more days or she wants to go with you immediately, right now. Let her choose. And so verse 58, they called Rebekah and then they said to her, will thou go with this man? Thank God she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. So all of them say bye-bye. He passed the test. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister. Verse 60. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions. See, they were not ignorant of her spiritual duty. They understood, and yet they still asked for 10 extra days. Why? I'm sure you understand the tension that must be in their soul. I can understand the tension. If I were in their shoes, I probably would say the same thing. Even though I knew that this daughter of mine, this sister of mine, she was leaving home for a very high purpose to do God's will in her life, and I will probably not see her again. But be that as it may, if they grew up together, and they probably grew up together and it was the same home, I'm sure they were close. They care for one another. I'm sure they would ask, stay 10 days. We can spend some final time together for memory's sake. I can understand, and I'm sure you can too. If you really love your children and you know your children are going to leave you and you'll probably not see them again, at least on this earth. Or you'll continue to see each other in heaven, but no longer on this earth. That feeling, that emotions, or that tension is real and it will tear you and me apart. Tear us apart. And that's why they asked Rebekah. Rebekah said yes. And based upon what they testified concerning her future, we have to conclude that they knew the spiritual responsibilities that confronted Rebekah and them as well. And for them to still ask 10 extra days, whereby it could put the mission at risk because anything could happen during the 10 days. Many persons could change their mind. If Bethuel changed his mind, Laban changed their mind, the mother changed their mind, Rebekah changed their mind, so many things could happen. That's why you cannot procrastinate. Once you confirm the will of God, you have to persevere in the will of God until it is done. And your personal feelings and heartfelt hurt or pain must be put aside to do the will of God. Because that's exactly what faithfulness is. That's what the test of our faithfulness to Christ, to God, requires us to do. If it does not cause us that kind of tension, that kind of choices, it's so easy. And when it is so easy, how are we going to know the depth of our commitment to the Lord in completing His will, right? That's why the tension was good. Do they love Rebekah? I'm sure. Do they love the Lord? I'm sure. Do they know that it was God's will? I'm sure. And yet, they still asked for 10 extra days. Thank God the servant was very, very convicted and firm. And he was very much conscious of the sin of procrastination by the use of the word, hinder me not. Don't caused me to fall into the sin of procrastination.
He understood.
So must we.
And so when you and I have to make a decision that may cause us this tension, similar, that if we were to delay, it will be the sin of procrastination. You must understand and remember this. You are now in the same boat, same position as Abraham's servant. You've got to choose now. Do you really love the Lord more? Do you really want to be faithful and be serious in all the assignments that the Lord has entrusted to you and will entrust to you in the future? The sin of procrastination must be avoided at all costs. And Rebekah arose, and her damsel, let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Second cure. Persevere. Once you are sure it's God's will, there will be resistance, there will be stumbling block in your pathway. You persevere to the end and you hold on and you don't budge. You don't budge. You hold on. You know, sometimes it is very hard to discipline someone. It takes weeks, and sometimes it might even involve months. And you've got to persevere to the end, because sometimes halfway through, you cannot change your mind. You have to continue to do what is right. Once you know what is the right thing to do, you must go all the way. You cannot allow feelings, sentiments, and emotions to stall your decision making. You've got to do it. And sometimes almost immediately, once you are sure that this is what God's will is, and you have all the facts and all the data, and you know with all your heart that according to the Bible, this is what the Lord wants you to do, this is the right thing to do, and you must act on it. And then along the way, there will be people or circumstances in life, like in this case, they say, okay, go, Rebekah is before you. And then they turn around and say, 10 more days, delay, wait. You must persevere. Once you are convicted, confirm God's will, persevere in God's will. Don't budge, don't turn around, don't take your hand off the plow, hold on and keep on going. And then finally, verse 62 to 67, complete God's will. Complete it, fulfill it, complete it all the way until it is done. That must be our newfound attitude as Christians. We are serving the Lord. We are now dealing with eternal matters. Heaven and hell are at stake. Fighting against the God of this world is what our service and witness are all about. You no longer wrestle against flesh and blood like before. Now that you are a child of God, every battle you fight is always spiritual against principalities in high places. And that's why the sin of procrastination with an enemy such as the devil against us, we are in trouble. That's why you have to make sure that the third cure is go all the way. Complete the will of God in your life. Mission by mission, ministry by ministry, case by case, issue by issue. From beginning to end, until it ends, you cannot procrastinate. Not even at the last and final moment, until the very end. How long it took them to arrive near home, we do not know, but they traveled from Haran all the way up north in the midst of the Mesopotamia Crescent, the Fertile Crescent it is called. Isaac came from the way of the well of Lahairoi. For he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And then he lifted up his eyes, and then he saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Did the servant complete the mission? Now, he was completely ignorant of all that transpired, obviously, right? He did not know, but he was anticipating. He was anxiously waiting, as it were. And then the distant Rebekah asked the servant, as she lifted up her eyes and she saw Isaac
She lighted off the camel. Why? The culture. She had to cover her face. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And then the servant probably said to her, this is Isaac, my master's son, the man you are about to marry. And so she stopped, got down, covered her face, which was the culture. And the servant had said, it is my master, therefore she took a veil and covered herself. She did it correctly. And then the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. So he arrived, he spoke to Isaac and explained to Isaac all that had happened, how he prayed, how the Lord answered his prayer almost instantaneously the moment the last syllable of his prayer ended. Rebecca was brought there, watered the camels voluntarily, and then she washed from the relationships, the family of Abraham's brother. And then how he went to their home and how he shared with them his testimony and how they gave the permission and how Rebecca was asked to decide and how he did not procrastinate. He made sure step by step, stage by stage, because he understood the seriousness of his mission. He was not there to have fun. This was not a holiday. There was no time for any distraction or procrastination. And so he told the whole account of what happened to Isaac. And then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Please note the use of the conjunction end, telling us that every phrase that is mentioned there was deliberately, carefully contemplated and acted upon. That's when the mission was completed. No procrastination. Beware. It appears to be a very innocent transgression. And that's the reason why we must beware, because of the appearance of innocency. When it is very deadly and dangerous, when even a child could see that it is dangerous, you don't have to tell anyone twice, the person will avoid. But because it has the appearance of innocency, lack of danger, and that's why we play with it. That's why we allow it to hang around our lives. Remember, faithful in the least, faithful in the much. Let me change it a bit. Procrastinate in the least, and we will procrastinate in the much. So you do not want to procrastinate in things that are great, like service in church, ministry, and other ministerial, spiritual assignments given to you. Don't procrastinate at home. You open your mailbox, and there is a letter. You open it. You read it. Don't put it down again until you have decided what to do. The moment you have not decided what to do, you put it down. Procrastination has begun. And the letter will lay there, undone, unanswered, incomplete, unfinished. And one day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, and it could be more than a week, because it appears so difficult for you to pick up the letter again. That one act of letting go of the letter and put it on the desk started your sin of procrastination that is now into a whole week. And all you need to do, if your conviction of heart is, whatever I lay my hand to do, and if I can do it, once the will of God is confirmed, I will not let go of it until I have decided and done it. Don't let it go. Don't waste your time picking it up again. You really pick it up once. Don't pick it up twice. Get it done. It's a simple letter. Sure, if there's a letter that involves some study, some waiting, by all means, put it somewhere, study, wait before you reply. Remember, confirming God's will is important. Don't be hasty. Just because you want to get it done doesn't mean that it is the right time. Certain things when it is not confirmed that it is God's will, you hold back and you pray and you wait and you trust. But once it is confirmed, you hold it, don't let it go until it is done. Same for a messy table, same for a messy laundry area, our dirty clothes. And all these things I tell you, don't tell my wife, you know. Because my table is messy. So I'm going to go back home tonight and I'm going to tidy it up in order to make sure that what I preach, I obey. And I hope that I can maintain it. But again, don't tell my wife. She knows. I have a bad habit of taking something and put it down and don't pick it up again. So I'm telling you what my own experience is. That's why I'm speaking from experience here. And so I tell myself many times, once I pick up a letter, answer it, dispose of the envelope and reply. Most of the time I succeed, especially when it comes to paying my bills, my credit card bills, my water bills, my electricity bills, all these bills. I don't want to be late because that's a penalty. So I make sure by God's grace and with God reminding me, don't procrastinate. Penalty. And that's only money. And I, as a pastor, procrastinate in making decisions that concerns your spiritual well-being. That price is far, far higher than just simply some dollars and cents penalty because of late charges. I do not want God to late charge me for not taking care of God's people. Because I procrastinated, my lesson was not prepared well enough, my messages not prepared well enough, this paper was not done soon enough, that not done, that and that, this and that. Don't overcommit. Know your ability and fulfill what you know you can accomplish to the best of your ability and on time. Don't procrastinate. It is a common transgression in the course of a high pressure cooker society. And I'm sure in Truth BP Church as well as in Pandan. Procrastination. Don't. We are here to do God's will, like the servant. You and I are left behind to do spiritual work, to be the mouthpiece of Christ, to be the hands of our Savior, to be the feet of our Savior, to go where He sends us. And when we procrastinate, the work of Christ through us will be compromised, will be delayed. Please don't let that happen. Beware the sin of procrastination. Remember the three kills. Confirming God's will. Persevere in God's will. Complete God's will. As long as it is not completed, the danger of procrastination remains. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise Thee, O Lord, for Thy patience and Thy long-suffering in dealing with us. How easy it is for us in our pressure cooker society to make excuses and to procrastinate because it seems to be a sin and a transgression that is committed by almost everyone around us. Help us, O Lord, to be convicted and to be diligent and to realize and understand the consequence of procrastinating. How many lives could be impacted and the world and the work of God in Christ Jesus could fall apart, could be hurt because we have not done what we ought to do on time. May Thou be merciful, O Lord, to bring conviction into our hearts, that we may embrace the cure for the sin of procrastination by understanding what the will of God is. And once it is confirmed, help us to have the perseverance to keep on doing it until we complete it to the very end. We pray, Father, that this will be the new pattern in our lives, that we will not leave anything undone that ought to be done because of the sin of procrastination. Cleanse us and wash us of this sin, O Lord, and place in our hearts and a conviction that we will no longer be slothful and no longer procrastinate, but to do all things to the best of our ability, to the glory of Thy holy name and blessing to God's people. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.